happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup, and the horrible bills across the country remain the headline. This week, more anti-LGBTQ bigotry from Florida's Governor DeSantis, but out-gay Colorado Governor Polis is hitting back.
We have to escalate the noise we make so we will be heard, as Larry Kramer says in our opening. Governor DeSantis got support for Don't Say Gay from a New York Democrat who then tried to backtrack.
What a mess. And it was a real shocker.
Let's take Governor Polis's picture off. We won't do any pictures during the opening. Okay.
A gay legislator in Missouri and a non-gay one in Michigan gave searing speeches indicting Republican bigotry. We are going to show you the video of both of them.
Yeah. A suspect in the arson fire of an LGBTQ-friendly bar in Brooklyn is now in custody.
That's heartening, but not so heartening. In Vermont, a beloved trans woman was murdered.
And equally horrifying, in Sligo, Ireland, two gay men murdered in their respective homes by a predator. And the nation really went into mourning over this.
Israel is reporting a big uptake in anti-LGBTQ hate crimes last year.
J.K. Rowling's transphobia is hurting business for her new movie.
And we will review Harmony, the new musical from Bruce Sussman and Barry Manilow.
Yeah. So we start in Florida, where Governor DeSantis is asking the legislature to end Disney's self-governing status that they've enjoyed for a long time. It allows Disney World Resort to operate within Orlando somewhat independently. He's angry that Disney finally stood up to him over the Don't Say Gay bill. Is he going to be punishing all the... There were like, 50 corporations that went after him on this. Are they all going to be punished? And he's especially upset that Disney is withholding donations to those who voted for the anti-LGBTQ legislation, at least for the moment.
Well, and another one of my pet peeves on Morning Joe this week, Joe Scarborough was sort of poo-pooing the Disney employees who are mad at their company, saying that, the bill is not so terrible and why are they going after it?
And what he said?
Completely omitting the fact that the company has been donating to these anti-LGBTQ politicians. That was just not part of the conversation.
But Joe Scarborough is saying the bill is not so horrible?
Well, it's only kindergarten through third grade.
We're going to get to that.
It isn't only kindergarten through third grade. And no, it isn't about teaching sex ed to kindergartners. It's about any mention of anybody's sexual orientation, if they're not straight, at any grade level.
Well, that's debatable, Anne. I mean, the way the bill is written, you won't be able to talk about having a mommy and a daddy or parents who are married to each other or anything like that.
Well, that is technically true, but in reality, no one's going to get prosecuted or fired.
We will see, and I think that will be a big part of the legal challenge. And they will just say, this is absolutely absurd. This is the way you talk about sexual orientation and gender. When you're talking to kindergartners, you're talking about their families, basically. Anyway,
well, I think it's a good approach. Well, I don't think that's our strongest argument. Well, at any rate, it's not widely understood that part of our anger is that Disney has been supporting these politicians and is withdrawing its funding.
So Colorado's out governor, Jared Polis, however, slammed DeSantis's what he called socialist attacks on the private sector. And he said, we're ready for Mountain Disneyland. Polis was, by the way, the only Democrat when he was in the House Libertarian Caucus when he was in Congress. He said, we will give Mickey and Minnie full asylum in Colorado.
He actually called them authoritarian socialist attacks. But DeSantis marches on. He had his Department of Health put out a memo this week that lists all the things you should not be doing for trans kids because it's so dangerous, including any kind of health care, puberty blockers.
That's not the thing we're talking about right now.
No, this is the fight back by the school board of Broward County.
Right.
That says we are not going to abide by DeSantis's rules. You can put that back up. We are issuing a proclamation that says we are going to support LGBTQ students, employees, and members of our community. So it's going to be very interesting to see whether a fight develops between local authorities and the state over these issues.
And in Alabama, where they passed the most draconian anti-trans law, families with trans kids are getting ready to leave. They have to leave the state because if they provide medical care or a provider provides medical care to a trans young person, they face 10 years in prison and a $15,000 fine. And they, you know, they're planning on leaving.
Well, one of the candidates for governor in Alabama against Kay Ivey, one of the reasons she's going so full scale against us in her, you know, charge to the right, is a guy named Tim James, who decides his campaign tactic is to attack a school that is LGBTQ friendly. So he's going after their drag shows, although now we've turned up a pictures of him in high school participating in a drag show. And students are getting attacked because of his attacks on the school. All of these attacks that DeSantis and Kay Ivey and everybody across the country are launching against us, they may think are just good political maneuvers, but it is provoking all this reaction from people who are absorbing this and going out and acting against LGBTQ kids and families and putting them at high risk.
Yes, I wrote as much in a comment to the New York Times, and they took it down because I said this is going to lead to violence and blood, and that is what is going to happen. Now,
well, you have conservative commentator Charlie Kirk saying that all of this is responsible for inflation in the United States because allowing trans people to self-identify is the same as printing free money. And that's why we're having inflation now.
I've lost you, and I can't understand it. And I don't think Democratic Congress member Tom Suozzi understands what's going on. For about a week, he was DeSantis's new ally. He's running for governor of New York in the primary.
As a Democrat.
And in a radio interview, he was asked about Don't Say Gay. And, you know, they said, you know, the one that teaches kindergartners about genitals and sex. He said that, oh, yeah, that bill is reasonable. That law is reasonable. And then he got blasted, including by the Victory Fund board member, Matt Albert, who worked in his campaigns. And he backtracked at a press conference saying he now opposes it full stop. He said he thought he was responding to a radio question about sex and genitals. But he said more than that. He never read the bill, and he was very arrogant about saying, well, you know, not teaching kindergartners like your friend Morning Joe. And so he says he disagrees with DeSantis on most things, but they had agreed on this. Now he acknowledges the law does more than that. But he still doesn't seem to know what's in it. He says he fully supports gay and lesbian families. And that is the most important thing. If we can't talk about gay and lesbian families, these kids are in trouble.
He's a member of Congress.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd read the newspapers occasionally, but evidently not. It is
very busy with his campaign.
I am constantly reminded of how we do this stuff 24 hours a day. We read all this stuff. We study up. We do this show every week. But the vast, vast majority of the American people, I'm convinced, know nothing about any of this. They don't pay attention, and they regard it as not in their world, and they're not educated about it.
Well, they don't really pay attention to politics that much. I mean, there was a whole, I've said it again, because I want everybody to be prepared for a Republican Congress getting elected in November. I obviously would love it not to happen, but most people don't pay attention, but they do know that their gas prices are up, inflation is up, and that COVID, very unhappy, and they will just vote for the other party. They don't even look at what they're for, what they're going to do to them or anything. It's just, let's vote them out.
Well, and they're subject to the sloganeering of these right-wingers who are very, very good at coming up with a phrase or two to scare the population or to make them unrealistic promises, and there we are.
So the
LGBTQ employees at Fox News, however, are so fed up with the propaganda coming out of their company that they have made a public complaint to their bosses about the on-air homophobia. I don't think it's going to have an effect, but
what are they doing working there in the first place and supporting that place? They say, oh, they're very supportive of us. It's a nice place to work. No, it's a very evil institution.
Yes.
All right. DeSantis also defended his right-wing education commissioners' rejection of 41% of Florida's math textbooks and for including what they called prohibited topics, by which they mean critical race theory, Common Core, social emotional learning. These are big buzzwords if you watch Fox News. But they won't give any examples of anything that they are excluding. So it's just, you know, this guy's name is Richard Corcoran. He says he's getting a lot of crazy liberal stuff out of there. Well, that's not your business. We used to call this liberal arts education when I was a kid.
In Tennessee, there is a bill under consideration that would defund schools that don't punish trans students.
Punish them how?
Just by refusing to acknowledge them, by refusing to respect them, by refusing to acknowledge their existence.
And the person who brought you the nationwide attacks against critical race theory, which is not taught in any elementary or high school that I know of, now have queer theory in their sights. Another fabricated foe, something that, again, is not part of K-12 education. It's sort of a rarefied college education kind of thing. This guy's name is Christopher Rufo, a Christian nationalist crusader who works for the Manhattan Institute.
Well, they've always been a right-wing organization.
Well, I'm just saying. And he promoted the hashtag Boycott Disney. So kids in Florida and other places, schools are becoming places where you're not going to be able to get much of a well-rounded education. So you know what to do. Explore what you want to know on the internet, but think critically and don't believe everything you read or hear.
We're going to be the ones who end up creating our own private schools.
Well, look, we were involved in sex education for years, and, you know, parents generally had an opt-out. They could opt their kids out of getting sex education. There were liberal parents who opted their kids out because they didn't want them polluted by something too conservative.
Well, we went into schools and did sort of, I would say, human life education. We weren't going in there to do sex lessons, although occasionally we'd get asked questions that we would answer generally.
And when we did AIDS education, we certainly talked about sex.
Yes, of course. And we had some parental complaints here and there, but we had a lot of principals who would fight back against the parents who complained and say, you're wrong. These are very valuable lessons. They're not bad for the kids. I've seen what they're doing, and they're important thing conversations for kids to have.
Teachers and principals, they mainly brought us in because they didn't want to talk about it themselves.
Right. Well, that's what guest lecturers are about.
Okay.
West Virginia, a gay man was returning a Halloween costume that was kind of a drag costume, and he was attacked by the store manager, who went after him, I think, physically as well as verbally.
Right. Let's give them some encouragement here, because people are fighting back. In Missouri this week, during the House vote on the trans sports ban, out gay lawmaker Ian Mackey took on the sponsor of the bill, State Representative Chuck Bazie, who has a gay brother and who was afraid to come out to the Bazie family. And this guy really read him, a gay guy, really read him the Riot Act. If we have that video, please, from Missouri.
Do you remember your remarks on the floor last year when you brought this up?
You'd have to give me a specific. I mean, I made a lot of remarks last
year. So I recall a story you told about your brother.
Okay.
And I remember you said that your brother called, or that your mother called you, I believe, to tell you that your brother had some news that he was afraid to tell you.
Okay.
And your brother wanted to tell you that he was gay, didn't he?
He was expressing that to the family, and he thought that that we would hold that against him and not let my children be around him.
Why do you think he thought that?
I don't know. It never would have happened, I'll tell you that. My kids at that point in their life adored my brother.
Can I tell you, if I were your brother, I would have been afraid to tell you too.
Well, I'm sorry.
I would have been afraid to tell you too because of stuff like this. Because this is what you're focused on. This is the legislation you want to put forward. This is what consumes your time. I would have been afraid to tell you too. I was afraid of people like you growing up, and I grew up in Hickory County, Missouri. I grew up in a school district that would vote tomorrow to put this in place. And for 18 years, I walked around with nice people like you, who took me to ball games, who told me how smart I was, and who went to the ballot and voted for crap like this. And I couldn't wait to get out. I couldn't wait to move to a part of our state that would reject this stuff in a minute. I couldn't wait. And thank God I made it. Thank God I made it out. And I think every day of the kids who are still there, who haven't made it out, who haven't escaped from this kind of bigotry. Gentlemen, I'm not afraid of you anymore, because you're going to lose. You may win this today, but you're going to lose.
I hope he's right.
Oh, I believe him. It may take another 100 years, but, you know, that's what we used to say about marriage, too.
Well, we fought a civil war, and then they had 100 years of Jim Crow. So it took 100 years to overcome that.
And before we get to the next nice one, I will just note that, as feared, the Kentucky legislature overrode the governor's veto of a no trans sports bill.
We have a Democratic governor in Kentucky, Beshear,
who was terrific, although we've had Republican governors. In fact, the governor of Kansas,
Laura Kelly.
She's also a Democrat, but we've also had Republicans. Laura Kelly vetoed a no trans sports bill, which applied only to trans girls.
And they're likely to override her.
Yes, exactly. But thank you to those governors who are brave enough to stand up and say, I don't care if you override me. If only Bill Clinton had that, those guts.
So why don't you introduce state senator from Michigan, Mallory McMorrow.
Yeah, she was her opponent put out a piece of literature charging her with being a groomer and pedophile. And she got up on the floor of the legislature in Michigan. And here's part of her speech.
I didn't expect to wake up yesterday to the news that the senator from the 22nd district had overnight accused me by name of grooming and sexualizing children in an email fundraising for herself. So I sat on it for a while wondering why me. And then I realized, because I am the biggest threat to your hollow, hateful scheme. Because you can't claim that you are targeting marginalized kids in the name of, quote, parental rights if another parent is standing up to say no. So then what? Then you dehumanize and marginalize me. You say that I'm one of them. You say she's a groomer. She supports pedophilia. She wants children to believe that they were responsible for slavery and to feel bad about themselves because they're white. I am a straight, white, Christian, married, suburban mom who knows that the very notion that learning about slavery or redlining or systemic racism somehow means that children are being taught to feel bad or hate themselves because they are white is absolute nonsense. No child alive today is responsible for slavery. No one in this room is responsible for slavery. But each and every single one of us bears responsibility for writing the next chapter of history. Each and every single one of us decides what happens next and how we respond to history and the world around us. People who are different are not the reason that our roads are in bad shape after decades of disinvestment or that healthcare costs are too high or that teachers are leaving the profession. I want every child in this state to feel seen, heard, and supported, not marginalized and targeted because they are not straight, white, and Christian. We cannot let hateful people tell you otherwise to scapegoat and deflect from the fact that they are not doing anything to fix the real issues that impact people's lives. And I know that hate will only win if people like me stand by and let it happen.
So it's all up to us. It's about speaking out everywhere. It's about speaking out in our families and in our communities. And we hope everybody can whip up as much courage as she has.
Well, just to show you the flip side of Joe Scarborough, Mallory was on Morning Joe this morning and being honored highly for her speaking out. They showed part of that speech and talked to her for a few minutes. She said she had flipped a formerly Republican district when she first ran, I think, 4 years ago. And obviously, someone like her gives me great hope. And that is how we did so well in the 2018 midterms.
Absolutely.
So I have not given up on the 2022 midterms, even though everyone thinks it's going to be a bloodbath. But if suburban moms like her can get outraged enough by what these creeps are doing, we have a chance of surviving this.
And we told you last week about the family, the Pierce family on Amtrak, who were attacked by an anti-gay bigot who was screaming at their child. Let's put the picture up of the dads and their six-year-old son. They also have a five-year-old girl. They were besieged by this man calling the gay dads pedophiles and rapists right in front of the kids, terrorizing them. The kids cried for hours, couldn't get to sleep that night. But Pierce said in an interview, he hopes allies will step forward when these kinds of things happen. He said there was a young gay man sitting there who did nothing. That when you see something, do something. Stand with these people. What do they call that? Don't be a bystander, be an upstander.
Yes. Well, I think these examples are wonderful of these people speaking out, and I hope people do take them as models and do speak up. I know we're all afraid of getting into some kind of violent confrontation, and we have seen enough examples also of people who do pull out knives or guns and
right.
go after you, and no one wants to face that. But it is extremely important that we provide ongoing models of defense.
Right. So after, you know, the playwright David Mamet made his statements that men are predators and inclined towards pedophilia, teachers, male teachers are inclined towards pedophilia, which is an absolutely violently provocative statement. There's been a lot of outrage about it, but he still had the opening of his show, a revival of American Buffalo from 1975. I thought somebody had to go there. So Bill Dobbs and I went up there and we picketed the opening of the show where all the stars come in, you know, for the gala opening. Put up the picture of Bill Dobbs there. There he is. David Mamet, Bigot on Broadway, Shame, and Mamet, Stop Smearing Teachers. And we had some other signs, but we got to yell directly at Mamet as he was slithering his way into the theater, and it was rather satisfying.
Did you get any reaction from anyone?
Oh, yeah. Well, most people just like, you know, but one guy goes, oh, come on, get over it, you know, like get over it. How about stopping it? Get over it.
Well, again, I don't think people are paying enough attention and they don't know what he said.
We kept saying to people, Google Mamet and the news this week and you'll read exactly what happened. Everybody's carrying a device around. It's very easy to look it up.
I hope so. But I think that you know, the people who are going to the play are the people who are willing to go see a Mamet play in spite of it. So
Jesse Green gave him a good review.
Mention the controversy in the
He did. Yeah. But and it's more than a controversy. It's creating a tremendous strain on LGBTQ youth. And the CEO of Hetrick Martin Institute, Joey Presley, reports that requests for mental health services have eclipsed all requests for all other areas of support over the past year at the agency that Ann and I used to work for LGBTQ youth, which has been around for 40 years. And he says, in our more than 40-year history, we have never seen anything like this. He said these politicians manufacturing fear of LGBTQIA individuals by weaponizing gender identity and sexual orientation, and said it is terrifying in its effectiveness. And he cited, of course, the recent CDC report that found, we didn't even talk about this, but it's something we've known, 1 in 4 youth who identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual have attempted to take their own lives during the first half of 2021, and half have considered it. Now, we gotta create a much different atmosphere here around these issues.
Well, this is why on the days when we're not feeling hopeful, we tear out our hair about the coming destruction of the United States, not to mention everywhere else. Well, a little piece of good news. The straight-only marriage bill in Tennessee looks dead for this year.
Yeah. In Carroll County, Maryland, the school board, in response to a few parent complaints about rainbow flags of the schools donated by the parent of a 13-year-old bullied for LGBTQ advocacy and with help from the local PFLAG. Anyway, they adopted a new policy against these flags, which they call political symbols. 3 months ago, they voted to penalize teachers who voice views not aligned with the approved curriculum, what the Baltimore Sun calls the Donald Trump curriculum.
Well, this is at the same time that the state this week, the legislature passed the Inclusive Schools Act, which is supposed to set a standard of non-discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, yep. gender identity, race, religion, across the board. Well, and yet Carroll County proceeds with this hateful decision to outlaw these little rainbow flags voluntarily put on teachers' desks to support LGBTQ students.
But that bill, which was passed by both houses of the legislature there, and it passed 96 to 36 in the General Assembly, it has to be signed by Republican Governor Larry Hogan, not the worst character in the world. He's certainly anti-Trump.
They recently overrode a veto he did of, was it an abortion bill?
Yeah, schools risk losing financing if they don't comply. But by the way, the state education department is only going to be getting $42,000 to implement it.
In Ohio, Shawnee State University is going to have to pay $400,000 to a professor who refused to respect students' individual pronoun IDs. He said it's against his religion to acknowledge trans people or non-binary people with their preferred pronouns. And for that, he is going to win $400,000.
Sounds like very bad manners. A Navajo Nation committee voted 3-2 against marriage equality. Now, this is the most populous place in the United States where same-sex couples cannot marry. 173,000 people live there. The bill will be heard by other committees, and it will be resolved sometime in May, so there is hope.
In Loganville, Georgia, four high school students have been charged with forcing a ninth grader into a closet, pelting him with homophobic slurs and spraying him with toxic chemicals.
This was where again, Ann?
Loganville, Georgia.
Well, in Brooklyn, a 17-year-old boy has been charged in the beating of a 15-year-old trans girl with assault as a hate crime after mocking her on Snapchat. The attack took place back in January. The alleged perp frequently posted anti-trans remarks. Names are not being given because of their ages.
Well, there is a follow-up now from Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York, where John Lota, names revealed because he's 24 years old, has been arrested for setting fire to the Rash Bar, the gay-friendly bar in Brooklyn. That is a photo of supposedly this guy, allegedly this guy, pouring gasoline on the floor of the bar, which he then lit on fire, and the bar was a total loss.
And two of the employees were burned. They've recovered from their injuries.
There's a clearer picture of him.
Yes, of Joe.
Just how they were able to track him down.
He has a rather famous name because he is the son of the cousin of Joe Lota, who was the Republican mayoral candidate at one point. We don't blame Joe for that. John Lota, is a graduate of the elite Hunter College High School, a very liberal institution, at Brown University. He must have been chafing about it the whole time. And by the way, tenants in the building have been displaced, but they've been raising money to try to reopen the place as soon as possible. They have a GoFundMe thing going on about it, and they want to rebuild as quickly as possible.
And to help the employees who were injured.
And replace wages, yes.
Yeah. In Morristown, Vermont, a tragic story of a trans woman, Fern Feather, 29 years old, a very popular local character, stabbed to death by a guy named Seth Brunel, 43 years old. There's Fern.
She is the 12th such victim this year. Seth Brunel is claiming self-defense, but police said there's absolutely no evidence of that. Fern was part of something called the Salt Cafe family that served farm-to-table food, and Governor Peter Shumlin was a regular at this cafe. Fern had announced her transition in March, and she was much loved.
Yeah, just one of these local characters who was a friend to everyone and happy and befriended this guy who allegedly killed her because she just, took in strays and was willing to be friendly with the whole community.
Some justice in Los Angeles. We've told you about the case of Ed Buck, 67 years old, who has been found guilty of the murders of two black gay men, Gamel Moore and Timothy Dean. He's been given a 30-year sentence for killing them. He plied them with drugs. They overdosed. He injected them with meth for his sexual gratification. He lured men who were homeless or just down and out. And when they OD'd, he didn't even seek medical attention for them.
There's some controversy about the length of his sentence, 30 years for these two murders, not to mention what he did to everybody else. But he's 67 years old, so unless he gets out early for some reason, I suspect this will be a virtual death sentence for him.
In better news, we told you that Tim Gill and Scott Miller, husbands, helped save the Stonewall Inn down there in the village. And the LGBT Center honored them with their first Edie Windsor Trailblazer Award. Over there on the left is Judith Case of Windsor, who was Edie's widow. They donated $250,000 to keep the bar going and an extra $50,000 for Stonewall Day, benefiting a bunch of trans groups and other groups. So that's Tim Gill and Scott Miller.
Now, the charge against New York's lieutenant governor, Benjamin, is...
He's out now.
Yeah. Well, is he off the ballot now?
Well, no, but he's resigned as lieutenant. Michael Benjamin was a corrupt politician, should never have been picked for lieutenant governor to fill in.
Michael, isn't it? I thought his name was like Bruce or something, Benjamin. What's his... I'll look that up.
Okay.
Anyway.
Brian Benjamin.
Brian, thank you.
Am I right?
Yes, I think that's it.
Okay.
Anyway, this may, assuming we get him off the ballot, which in New York is not an easy thing to do, and they're still, they may have to pass legislation to get him off the ballot. At any rate, we're hoping this works out well for the preferred lieutenant governor candidate, who's a great progressive woman, Anna Maria Archila.
Yes, she's an activist, and she would be terrific.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the legislature passed the state budget. This is an annual circus in New York every year. But there is more funding for LGBTQ services and anti-hate work and trans people in the state budget. There's a significant raise. Now, when you have Kathy Hochul or anyone else running for governor this year, you can expect a little more funding for us. And sure enough, it's come through.
Okay. International news?
Sure.
London is opening the country's first LGBTQ national museum on May 5th called Queer Britain. It's going to be there near King's Cross. It's a free museum like many there. And they will open until July 4th. And then later on, they're going to be open up their full scale museum.
Yeah, May 5th it opens. In Gibraltar, the Minister for Justice and Equality is promising a bill to ban conversion therapy for LGBTQ people by this summer.
In Israel, a record number of anti-LGBTQ cases of hate and violence were reported last year, 3,000 in all, up 10% from 2020. 43% took place in the victim's family. The number of young LGBTQ people thrown out of their homes rose 41%. They attribute, and they end up in hostels. At least they have hostels to go to. A third of the incidents targeted trans people, a 50% increase. Half the incidents were documented in liberal Tel Aviv. Now, I would say that's because people in Tel Aviv are more likely to report these things.
Trans people, LGBTQ people in general, are more likely to congregate in a progressive city.
Right.
Ew.
And a third of the transphobic cases were inside the healthcare system. Now, the government did announce policies to make it more accessible, the trans health services. And the government says the rise in hate crimes is unacceptable. At least they're saying, you know, verbally that they'll address it.
A nice note from Germany, where the Interior Ministry has authorized flying rainbow flags on government buildings for specific occasions, for appropriate occasions.
Right. Let's go to Ireland. Some horrible crimes that really horrified the nation. Two middle-aged gay men, Michael Snee, 58, we have pictures of them, and Aidan Moffat, 41, were killed in their respective homes by a murderer who connected with them on gay apps. Right after this happened, the whole nation rose up after the killings on April 11th. Vigils were held all across the country by the thousands in multiple cities to express their revulsion at this and to stand with LGBTQ people. Ireland looks like a good place to go to.
Yes.
The suspect in the case is a guy named Yousef Palani, 22 years old. We have a picture of him as well. He has been charged. Don't know what motivated him, why he did it, why he had to, you know, it, but he is in custody.
And in Lviv, Ukraine, which we've all become much more familiar with in the last few weeks, an LGBTQ leader, Olena Shevchenko, leader of the chair of the rights group Insight, was attacked with tear gas by a Ukrainian man. This is not an attack by a Russian on a Ukrainian. This is an attack by a Ukrainian on a Ukrainian. Very depressing.
In Liga, Mexico, 200 fans were kicked out of a stadium during a soccer match for shouting anti-gay slurs. The referee paused the game. Public and private security people carried out the ejections. This was the second day in a row this happened, and it could lead to sanctions from league officials.
Yep.
And in Venice, they have their first transgender gondolier, the son of a gondolier, who apparently the gondoliers apparently have to be men, which is unfortunate. But Eduardo Benjamin says he dreamed of the job since childhood.
And finally accomplished it. Good for him. All right.
Aids news?
Sure. You've got any?
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about the masking mess that, we should acknowledge. I mean, this, you know, that scientific decisions are now being made by Trump judges who get all their information from Fox News. And this woman is a horror show who said this. She wrote ridiculous things in this opinion. And, I had an 81-year-old friend who has gotten four shots, but still tested positive for COVID and had bad symptoms. Omicron 2 is very contagious, and we are dropping our guard at the very moment that we should be continuing to slow it down. And people are just saying, oh, you got to live. Well, yeah, I'd like to live.
The question is, was the Biden administration about to drop the masking mandates anyway?
Do what you want, Joe says. Do what you want. That was an unfortunate
thing. I'm just saying that, yes, this judge is hideous, unqualified, never tried a case, a complete mess. But the Biden administration was headed in the same direction a couple of weeks from now.
And the health experts who are coming on television, and this is our field as well, are saying this is wrong. Here's the thing. On the subways, we're still required. But if I want to get on Amtrak now, I wear a mask. Nobody else is going to be wearing a mask. That cuts down about, you know, by exponentially on my protection. I'm protecting you from me, but you're not protecting your me from you.
Well, the Times today, I think it was in the Times I read it, published information on how much protection you get from various masks, and certainly not a lot from the blue cotton mask.
Wipers.
But they're a lot more comfortable than the others. You protect yourself at various levels with various masks.
You need N95s. You can go to the CDC. I don't know if it's the CDC online. Pharmacies are supposed to provide them free in some cases, N95 masks.
To old people?
Just to people. People. Okay. All right. Entertainment news?
Yes, we defied our worries about masks and went to the theater this week, and we're going a lot more this weekend.
Everybody wore masks. Everybody's still required to wear masks in the theaters. And to be, we had to show vaccination cards as well.
Yes. My mask, however, was so tight that it made my nose run and made me sneeze. I will be taking an antihistamine.
But we all went to the theater. Let's show that picture. Here's Anne with our old buddy, Rob Shooter, who sometimes co-hosts the show there on the left, and Bruce Sussman, who is the co-creator of Harmony.
And Rob's husband.
Yes, and Rob's husband. This is a play. This is a show that he developed with Barry Manilow, who did the music. And they've been in, it's been in development since the 20th century. No, for about, 7 years or something like that.
I think 25 years they've been wanting to do it.
Barry Manilow says this is his most important work. Why? It's about the comedian harmonists who were a German young male singing group in the late 1920s and early 30s, half Jewish, half Gentile. There's the show where they're doing one of their funny numbers, the comedian harmonists. They were a worldwide sensation. They played Carnegie Hall. They played all over the world. And then Hitler came along. And they worked with people like, before that, Josephine Baker and Marlene Dietrich. They were lauded by Richard Strauss and Albert Einstein. But we also
all
have...
All of them are in the show.
Yes. Well, that's why I'm mentioning them. And but it really could not be more timely, because when you see this wonderful group of guys, you know, we have a picture of what the original group looked like as well, and back in the 30s. You know, when you see the Nazis step in, and the Nazis don't just step in and shut them down, but they, you know, you take away your passports, you can't leave, basically because they want to exterminate you. And it really could not be more timely than with what we're seeing in the Ukraine and other parts of the world, and to a great extent in this country now, what fascism does. So in that sense, it moved me.
Yes, and it builds insidiously. And as you say, gradually, the first act of the show is a little more lighthearted and romantic. There are a couple of numbers in that first half that could really be big pop numbers. They do have Barry Manilow and Bruce Sussman written all over them. But by the time you get to the second act, suddenly the Nazis are literally there and are beginning to insert themselves into this act and to take away freedom. And it's step by step, gradually, so that at first the act is trying to accommodate certain demands, but it gets worse and worse and worse until, you know, the final disasters. And it just gets more and more serious and frightening as it goes along. It builds really well. And for once, I'm glad I stayed around for the second act. It is chilling, and it certainly rings absolutely vividly true for what we're going through now.
Congratulations to Bruce and Barry.
Yes.
A show that only has one act is Deborah Messing in back on Broadway in Birthday Candles.
A very different show.
This is a show where, you know, she ages from 17 to 107 in the same kitchen of her house, surrounded by different family members, doesn't use any special effects. And while some of the philosophy that was grafted into her dialogue seemed a little forced, I ultimately found this show very moving in the way she got through life.
Interesting. Well, I'm looking forward to being moved or entertained at least by Gentleman Jack coming back for season 2 on HBO next week, starting Monday, the 25th of April. season two, evidently more and more and more lesbian, as if it wasn't enough to begin with. This is the true story of a very outrageous lesbian aristocrat in England in the, 19th century, I think? 18th century? Sometime a long time ago.
I think it was the early 19th century.
I believe.
Because they make reference to people still being, hanged for being gay.
Well, she is out loud and proud 200 years ago, and it's a lot of fun. And so that's season two. You have time to catch up on season one on demand or on HBO Max, and season two starts Monday.
And Netflix is going to start its gay teen British drama Heartstoppers on Friday on Netflix. Now, if you've seen the ads for Daniel Craig and Ruth Negga in the Scottish play, which I'm not supposed to say the name of, they call it the theatrical event of the season. Well, I haven't seen that, but James McAvoy in Cyrano at the Brooklyn Academy of Music is really a unique theatrical event. It contemporizes the Rostand drama with rap, humor, and fierce energy. Equally fierce as Evelyn Miller there is Roxanne. This is not a shrinking, just a pretty Roxanne flower. It's a very feminist role. And there really is never a dull moment. It's quite an experience.
Well, we're missing some of the experience in China of the new Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore movie, because they are censoring a little gay content in the movie. They have removed references to Albus Dumbledore's relationship or love of Gellert Grindelwald. They took out a line that says, "I was in love with you," and another line that refers to the summer Gellert and I fell in love.
Why are they allowing that? I mean, some filmmakers put their foot down and say, "You're not going to edit the film."
Well, the film's not doing that well anywhere, so maybe because of J.K. Rowling's transphobia.
It's not just J.K. Rowling's transphobia. That's a part of it. But of course, the stars have been reluctant to do interviews promoting it because they're going to get asked about J.K. Rowling's transphobia. And she is reluctant to do interviews promoting the film because she's going to get asked about that. So,
and actually, the film is doing better in China than it is in the U.S.
Yes.
So there.
Kinky Boots is set to come back this summer in an off-Broadway production at Stage 42, directed by Jerry Mitchell. That's music by Cyndi Lauper and book and lyrics by Harvey Fierstein.
I don't suppose Billy Porter is coming back into it.
I don't, if he feels like it, I'm sure he'd be most welcome. He won the Tony for playing the role of the central drag queen.
I would hope that he has a lot of other things on his plate at the moment. I saw a documentary film that's playing this weekend at the San Francisco International Film Festival and will be doing a lot of other film festivals around the country and the world, I guess. It's called Jeanette. It is a sort of slice of life of a Puerto Rican lesbian bodybuilder who was a survivor of the Pulse Massacre. So it's a lot about her sort of post-traumatic stress from that, but living her life in various interesting ways, and definitely worth seeing. It's playing this Saturday afternoon in San Francisco at the International Film Festival, Jeanette.
And if you are only watching on Facebook, you can get down to the Julius's at 6 o'clock on Thursday, where they're going to be putting up a plaque honoring the sip-in 1966 that took place there. And John Cameron Mitchell will be there.
Well, we post this show on our website and YouTube by Wednesday night, usually, and a lot of people watch it there or on Thursday during the day before it airs on Manhattan Neighborhood Network here in Manhattan and other places around the country. So a lot of people do see it before Thursday at 6. And we like to celebrate lesbian golfers on this show. And one of them, who we've mentioned before when she came out, Mel Reed, got married this weekend to her girlfriend, Carly Grenfell, who's an executive for another golf tour. That's Mel on the right and Carly on the left. They got married in Florida. And it looks like they had a lot of bridesmaids back there. Congratulations to them.
Looks like a beautiful affair. We're sure going to have a lot of shows to tell you about next week. I'm going to be going to see The Minutes by Tracy Letts. You and I are going to be going to see Hangman by Martin McDonagh. And How I Learned to Drive. It's pretty raw. I thought it was hilarious when I saw it in London. We'll see how it holds up here.
And How then, I Learned to Drive, the revival with the original cast of Mary Louise Parker and David Morse.
25 years later, 27 years later, something like that. It's crazy.
25. But I'm very eager to see that. I always wanted to see it. I missed the original. I missed a revival a few years ago. So
it's
happy.
By Paula Vogel, out lesbian playwright and professor of drama at Brown University, who was a guest on this show. It's really, she won the Pulitzer Prize for this show.
Yes.
This play.
So, and we're also going to see Strange Loop this weekend. Very gay. It's about a black gay man whose name is Usher and who works as an usher in a theater. And I don't know. Did you see the original production of that?
No, it's very meta. But not meta in the Facebook sense.
Probably right over our heads. We'll see whether we can
An off-Broadway show that got tremendous reviews, and we're very much looking forward to that.
Another one I was sorry I missed the first time around.
But we can't see everything. And then after next week's show, we get to see Funny Girl.
Very excited. Well, it's a great show. You know, so whether we like the production or not, we'll see. But Jane Lynch is in it. She plays the mother.
And the reason we see so many shows this time of year is because they open them in time to qualify for the Tony Awards. And there is a deadline and they have to make it by the end of April. And that's what they're doing. We're down to our last minute.
So you get to be frustrated by us doing show reviews when many of you are not here to go see the shows, but we try to give you some indication and let
some of them go on the road.
Yes, they do. That's a very good point. And some of the people come to New York and want to know what to see. And
Kinky Boots is on the road. I mean, a lot of these shows are on the road.
All right. Well, if you want to know what we're doing each week on this show and get a few extras, go to gayusatv.org and sign up for our weekly show note, and we'll give you all the details.
Good. Thanks for being with us, and we look forward to seeing you next week. We hope we have better news.
Thanks to our director, Malik, who's leaving town. Bye, Malik.